So, guys, welcome to episode 258 of the PS4 Blackcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah is busy shooting guns and, well, broken guns. I guess she can't actually get them going, so they're taking a while to do their challenge stuff. So, she won't be here.
She's not shooting them. She's just sitting there apparently fixing them all because everyone else is breaking them and having fun themselves.
That's right. So, yeah, here we are. And I did solve the audio issue I had with the last episode for myself. That was quite annoying, but I managed to get that done. So everything should be good. Aside from that, there is not anything. I have basically three bits of news worth mentioning. I mean, they had that Death Stranding graphics demo thing that leaked, but it's like, that's not really that exciting. It's like, okay, I guess.
Which, I watched that and I didn't understand the point of it.
Yeah, I was like, the weather changed, that's cool, I guess, but I mean, I've seen that, like, time lapses of Horizon, it's like, even that, it's like, okay, that's cool, but I'll just wait until there's more than from the trailer or something, like, I don't know, it just...
Nobody wants to see a graphics demonstration of the game. We know it's going to be beautiful. The only thing people want to see is, like, what the fuck is the gameplay like, and what is going on with the story. That's what people are actually interested in.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I don't know what that's all about, but, yeah, anyways, let's see here. The first bit of news there was is that a Persona 5 anime TV series is announced coming 2018 from animation studio A1 Pictures. It's going to be called Persona 5 The Animation.
Which is a horrible name.
Yeah.
It's a fucking awful name.
Right. Let's see. A teaser for the series is live on their web, Aniplex's official website, but currently only available for viewing in Japan, so apparently we can't see it. I thought someone put a teaser for it somewhere, but additionally, a 30-minute special for Persona 5 called The Daybreakers was released prior to the game's launch. I guess that was something that I didn't know about, so, but yeah, there's an anime, so that'll be interesting. I'm wondering if it's going to be, like, just an anime version of the game, or... I'm assuming that's what it would have to be, because it kind of wraps up, so... But
I never actually watched the... I know there were animes for the other Personas. I never actually watched any of them, though.
Yeah.
I feel like it could be cool. The anime they had in the game and a lot of the teasers made it seem like it would be perfect for an actual anime release, but... the name doesn't instill a lot of confidence.
Yeah, we'll have to... just wait and see, I guess, and see how it does. I mean, I'm not like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for this new anime. But, you know, I'll be more interested in watching it. Kind of like the Castlevania anime. I'll watch that since it's based off Castlevania. But
right. Just check it out when it comes out.
Yeah. Let's see. Then we had news on Evil Within 2 getting a crafting system, apparently. Let's see, this is from an article on IGN quoting a Bethesda blog post that revealed it, saying, quote, "The world of Evil Within 2 is full of possibilities. With some of the larger stages we've created, we're opening Union up to the player's wishes and unique play styles." I guess Union's the name of the area you're in. "Through the layout of the world, as well as the crafting and customization systems in the game, we're providing you with the freedom to take on the challenges in front of you however you choose." So that's basically how they kind of dropped it in there. Now, let's see. Customizing Sebastian and your gear will now have separate systems. Green gel still used to upgrade Sebastian, but weapons now upgrade with weapon parts, which is pretty standard. So I'm wondering if you could...
I kind of hate this, like, fake news like this, though, like that bullshit, you know, oh, we have a crafting system. It's kind of like, well, who cares?
I kind of like it, though, because it's a gameplay thing. So, like, when I see this, if I can craft ammo or tweak certain guns or weapons to be more effective with particular ammo range, like, for example, the crossbow in Evil Within. You played Evil Within, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember. So, like, the crossbow has different ammo types. So it'd be nice if you can customize it to where the explosive arrows have a bigger blast radius, or the fire ones have a bigger, like, maybe keep the bodies burning for longer or something. Like, just to be able to customize that, you know, outside of just the damage, to be able to do greater customizations for it. Because they had, you know, you could increase the power of the guns and ammo capacity and reload speed by standard in the base game, but to have additional stuff that affects the ammo would be nice. I do like that. It's like when Dead Space 3 introduced the crafting system for the weapons. That was really cool. I like that a lot. That was an instance where they announce it, and I go, ooh, interesting. And then when I get into the game, I was like, I really like this.
Well, that's kind of how I feel about this, is it could be interesting, but at the same time, the actual announcement itself is just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, they go off, let's see, there's more here. This is a big post. Our crafting system lets you craft ammunition for the weapons that you like. I like that, because that's something I always wanted to know. I always hate in survival horror games when, you know, it's like, oh, I have a ton of ammo for a gun I don't like using, and then it's like, oh well. Or so that I have to hoard the other ammo I do like because it's so sparse, but... you don't have to rely solely on what you can scrounge up in the world. Again, it's the emphasis on letting people play how they want to play, but it all comes back around to how much you explore and how many resources you can track down. So I do like that, because then it really incentivizes checking each corner of the room, which isn't hard to do in the original Evil thing, because it's not like giant areas. Let's see.
Yeah, that part's pretty cool.
Yeah. That was always one thing I liked a lot about Resident Evil 3 that I would wish had come back to later Resident Evils, where you could just craft different ammo types for your weapons, and then once you craft that same type over and over, then you got more proficient in it and you created better versions of it. I like that a lot. And you can also take those ingredients, and if you want, I believe you could make health items instead. There's a game recently. Oh, not recently. I'm like, The Last of Us. How like that has, you can craft a bomb. Or you can craft a med pack. You know, it's like, how do you want to use this alcohol? Do you want to make a Molotov? Do you want to make, you know, a med kit? So I like that trade-off where it's like, hopefully it shares stuff like that, where you can make healing resources and ammo resources and not have two separate ones, just have kind of a universal thing. Because I really like, that adds a lot to the survivability. It's kind of like in...
It works really well in any sort of survival game where you actually have to make a choice as to what you want to focus on.
Yeah, like Prey does that really well too, where it's like you just pick up and you can make any of the ammo you want. They just require different levels of raw materials, and then of course you're just picking up junk to recycle to turn into that raw material. But obviously there's only going to be so much. And it's like you can make a neuromods, or you can make a health pack or ammo. So it's like, here's the base resources. You choose what you want to make, and I like that a lot, because then that game let you customize a lot of how you wanted to play. But yeah, so there's that. And then the only other bit, I'm trying to see if there's anything else I can find real fast, but
I feel like there were a few new games that came out. I just unfortunately didn't play any of them.
As far as new games, I mean, last week, I don't think any new games came out this week. I remember like
The Long Dark came out.
Oh yeah, that came out. I do want to play that because it has David Hayter and Jennifer Hale in it. And then it has... someone else, I'm totally blanking their name. I do want to play that, but I haven't seen anything on it, but it sounds interesting.
Which makes me curious, because I was following that game just because it seemed very cool. And the fact that nothing has been released on it yet really just makes me wonder why. Like, mm-hmm. I just expected much more. I think it already has a movie adaptation, too. Like, it's...
Interesting. Yeah, because...
Oh, yeah, it does.
It doesn't long show dark. Up in the... Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah, because it's the Long Dark, and then on the new games page, it's still promoting Pyre, FF12, Minecraft Story Mode, the new episode, Dino Frontier, Fortnite is still there, and then Super Hot, a couple of games.
Which, the VR of that looks so cool.
Yeah, I wish, I don't know why, it's the same shit. It's a shame that they're not bundled together, that you have to buy each of them separately.
It would have been such a perfect selling point, too, because I feel like Super Hot is one of the first games that a lot of people are going to want to play in VR as opposed to just normal. There's like, I feel like there's very few games that have been released thus far that do better in VR. Yeah. Super Hot, I think, would be a really cool one to play in VR. Resident Evil, although I haven't played it in VR, I feel like it would be very cool to play in VR.
Yeah.
But most of the ports thus far haven't really just been like... They just haven't really made me want to go out and buy anything. Super Hot, however, seems like it would be just ridiculous fun to play. It'd make you feel like a badass like Neo.
Yeah. Although I do believe that the Super Hot VR is different level design entirely than the base Super Hot.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that's... So that kind of justifies the fact that you pay two different amounts. It's not like it's that much. I mean, and Super Hot is... I want to say... Let's look at it here. Just loading. That's $25 for Super Hot. I don't know how much the VR one is, but... But yeah, I mean, if you had the VR, you'll buy the VR one. And then if you want more Super Hot, you just buy the other one. But that is a game I want to pick up. I want to pick up that in Locked Ark, but I'm waiting because I figure I'll get them down the line. I'm in no rush. The other bit of news we have is that the community test environment for Battlefield 1 is finally been brought to Xbox and PS4. You just have to go to the main menu and search for it and then agree to play on it, since it's going to be they test things on those servers, so things might go wrong, so they have to sign their agreement that, you know, if something funky happens during the gameplay, it's because of the CTE. But they are introducing in the CTE, it's not only the new maps from In the Name of the Tsar, which is coming out later, but they are introducing specializations, which are essentially the perks from Battlefield 3. They had them in 4, but they were a squad perk, which I didn't like at all. So this is more akin to how it was in Battlefield 3, so you can customize your soldier with these little bit of perks to make yourself kind of stand out versus every other person in that same class. And the perks actually aren't that bad. I don't have a list. I was trying to see if I can find... Let me see if I can find the Battlefield... Or, yeah, Battlefield blog. Battlefield.com. Because I was trying to look up, like, an official list of it. But the only thing I found was watching Jack Frags play. And he was talking about it. So, yeah, no. I can't find an official list on here. But anyways, So the way they're going to do it is that there's going to be 7 base perks that can be used across every class, and then there's 2 class unique perks, and you have to, I believe you can have 3 active at any time, 2 generic and 1 class specific. And then when it actually comes out in the DLC, I believe you'll have 3 generic ones unlocked at the beginning, and you have to do certain assignments to unlock the other ones. So that's, they do that a lot for any time they introduce new weapons. It's like, oh, if you want this new weapon, you have to get 50 kills with this gun, and then usually something specific to your class, like get 75 heals as a medic, which is easy to do. But then sometimes it's like, oh, in order to get this gun, you have to get 25 headshots, killing headshots with this gun, which can be a little tough if the gun has a low damage output for the assault class, for example. But then it's like, oh, and then you have to do this, or get squad resupplies, things, these little assignments. So it kind of changes up your play style to make you unlock stuff, which is fine. I like it. I do for the new guns that came out recently, I didn't do it because I didn't care for those guns. I still like the guns I'm using. But that's probably how they're going to do it for the specializations. But the basic 7 ones kind of break down to what you'd expect. So there's a flak, which reduces your flak damage from explosives by 15%. There is a bayonet charge skill, which increases the duration of your bayonet charge, also reduces the recovery time from the end of the bayonet charge. Then there is a quick heal, which decreases the time it takes before your character starts to regen their health on normal servers. I believe it reduces it by it's either a percentage or a couple seconds. It might be 2 seconds. And then there is a suppression retreat kind of one, where when you're suppressed, you get a slight speed boost for a moment when you're trying to run away. And I believe you also reduce your suppression by just a smidge. I'm trying to know what the other ones were. Some of them weren't necessarily all that great. I'm trying to remember. I think there's one that lets you just do a general sprint increase, but I can't recall the other ones. But then for the class specific, they do stuff like medic, where when you revive a teammate, you both get a slight speed boost for 8 seconds, which is actually really useful because it's kind of more for that in the front line kind of medic, who's like myself, who's always up by the objective, so I'm reviving my teammates. But if we're under fire, it's like if it gives them that quick speed boost, then they can, you know, get the fuck out of there. And then I can also turn around and run back as well. I can run out, revive, turn around, run back. So that's kind of nice. Then they also have one that when you currently, I haven't seen it in play yet, at least in Jack Frag's video, I didn't see it, but it's like this perk where when you go to revive a teammate who's within 20 meters, it drops a smoke grenade over their body to kind of give you cover, but it's on a 40-second cooldown. And it sounds like really strange, because I'm like, well, what if there's a bunch of medics running and then there's just dead bodies? There's going to be a bunch of smoke over the field? I mean, I don't really want to cover up my line of sight when I'm trying to revive someone.
That's how you make it fun.
Yeah, but I don't know if it'll be... When he was talking about it, it was like it sounded like it was a default kind of thing. But you don't necessarily want to just run by a dead body and all of a sudden it does it. But there is a feature they added a couple months back where you can designate a down target, which tells them that you are on your way to revive them, so it marks them. So I feel like if they tie it to that, like, oh, I'm going to get that guy, I'm going to mark him. Then once I get within 20 meters, the smoke goes off, and then I can revive them. I feel like that would be a much better method. And I don't know, who knows how much the... Because smoke grenades right now are pretty strong, so I imagine it'll be maybe a lesser version of it. So that way it can be a little more balanced. And then for assault, they get stuff where if you wear the gas mask, you get an additional 15% reduction in flak damage from explosives. So that stacks with the flak generic perk, so you can get 30%, which is really nice because basically outside of, you know, preventing yourself getting hit with gas, using a gas mask is pointless because you can't ADS, you can only hit fire. But it's like if it gives you extra, you know, explosive damage reduction, that's nice. So it seems like a lot of these perks they've added in are primarily dealing for like grenade spam, even though they just patched it recently, the regen time on grenades. And I never feel like grenades are spam that much anyways. There might be like one map or I don't know, because you can't get more and they take a while to regen on boxes. And the most common grenades I see are usually gas and fire. And then they also added assault to where they can sequentially detonate TNT. So typically if you throw down like three sticks of TNT, when you blow it up, they all blow up at once. But now it's like you can throw down three and then it goes in order. The first one, the second one, the third one. Which would be very situational. I don't know when there'd be a moment. I mean, obviously if you're throwing down TNT to blow up a, you know, a tank or something, they're so close they're going to blow themselves up because they're within proximity, so you're fine. But I don't know like when I would ever want to like throw one in one spot and then throw another spot. The only thing I could think about doing that would be like there's some maps where they have like a tunnel by an objective. So I can see putting one down in the front of the tunnel, one in the middle, and one at the other end. That way if someone's coming through, you know, they run through, you blow it up, they're like, oh, there goes all the explosives. But then they go, next group of guys go up, and then you get them with the next explosive, and then the next one. I could see maybe doing something like that.
Possibly. Or it's if you're like me and you just have bad aim and you just need to throw down a shit ton and hope something goes boom.
There you go. So that's interesting. Then snipers get one where if they drop below 35% damage from a long shot, they default deploy their decoy, which I never see anybody actually use anyways. But then they also get one, the other one that's actually better is whenever someone sets off one of their trip mines, any enemy within a 15-meter radius of that trip mine is instantly marked, which is actually really good. Not that I ever see people typically running. Usually if someone's going after a sniper who put down a trip mine, it's usually just one or two guys. It's rare that it's ever a big group, unless you have an aggressive sniper using like the Martini Henry and just CQB sniping. Then I could see that, like in a city kind of map and not an open area. Then the support class get a 75% suppression reduction against themselves when they have a bipod deployed, which is actually hugely significant. I don't play support a ton, but I do use the bipod a lot when I am support. Then they also get... Oh, they get another one. What's the other perk that they get? Man, I'm totally blanking on it. I can't remember. They get something else, but Yeah, that's it. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I like this idea that they're adding all this stuff. And then the new maps, I've been watching Jack Frags play them, and they just seem fucking awesome. I love the snow maps. I love snow maps in Battlefield 3. I love the snow maps in Battlefield 4. It just sucked that the ones in 3 like were part of a DLC, so it took a while to actually get there. But I just, something about snow maps I like a lot. And then the night maps that are currently out, two night maps are out for Battlefield 1 that you can play, and they're both really fun. I like the night maps as well. But yeah, definitely looking forward to more of that stuff coming. So, but other than that, it's kind of, well, we had a couple people in the gaming industry pass away this week. Pretty close back to back too. It was actually really sad.
Really?
Yeah. The
was I just not paying attention? Who passed away?
Two people. I'm blanking on the first guy's name, and I should totally remember. But he worked at BioWare. I'm trying to open up IGN. Hold on.
I saw the BioWare page. I did see that one.
Yeah, BioWare dev passes. His name was, God, what was his name? Corey Gasper. He passed away, and he was pretty young. They did a, that was from 2 days ago. They set up a GoFundMe, I believe, or some sort of Fundme page for his son. He has a younger son, kind of help, you know, fund his future education and stuff, since obviously it's going to be tough to save up for that as a single parent for the mom. But yeah, he passed away. And then also the composer for Dishonored and a couple of the games, he passed away as well. I'm trying to find it here. Just find his name. I just had it open too. I don't know why I closed it. It was by mistake. Sheesh. But yeah, he passed away. If I can find it. Darn it, but I'm getting lost in this. In this whole shuffle. I can't find it. But yeah, there's two people in the games industry that passed away recently. It's crazy. But yeah. I mean, yeah, Corey was young too. Like, usually when I hear like a celebrity or someone passing away, it's usually they're an older person. It's like, okay, it's kind of expected. Now, if it's something like, oh, it's cancer or unexpected, like Corey, I believe when he died, it was just totally unexpected. There's no cause of death announced yet of what happened, or just out of nowhere.
It's always crazy when that happens.
Yeah, it is. But yeah. Aside from that, there's, like I said, not much else in the way of news.
Got a lot of games coming up in the next few weeks, though.
Yeah, we do. Hellblade comes out next week. Or this coming week, rather.
Comes out in like 2 days, doesn't it?
Yeah, it comes out on Tuesday. I'm looking forward to it. They keep showing stuff for it, and I just ignore it. Because I'm like, if the game's kind of short, I don't want to ruin anything. I want to just play it. But yeah, that comes out pretty soon. I know there was a thing about someone possibly finding a setting for Last of Us 2 based on the trailer that is stuff that isn't necessarily in the game that Neil Druckmann said, but they think it could be in
I saw the announcement of people, internet sleuths, trying to figure out where The Last of Us 2 is set.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really huge spoilers, but like a lot of the people think it's set in like the Pacific Northwest. It was kind of one of those like, well, did you watch the trailer? Because if you've ever been to the Pacific Northwest, the trailer kind of looks like that.
Yeah. It's like some people are thinking Seattle.
Right. At the same time, it's, the first game started in, I want to say, Austin? I can't remember. It started in Texas somewhere.
Started in Texas, yeah. And then it goes to Boston.
And then the amount of states you travel over, I'm thinking like, well, fuck, you went across half the country there. I wouldn't be surprised if part of the next game is in Seattle, considering it's a great location and the first game didn't really go there much, so yeah, I would not be surprised if that was the spot.
Yeah, because isn't Tommy, the town he's at with the water plant, isn't that in Colorado?
I think so. I can't quite remember. I think it was in the Colorado region somewhere.
Yeah, because I thought it was Colorado, because I thought they went to Colorado State to go find the fireflies, and that's where that was, like CS... I don't know if they call it CSU or something. mean, it's California State University, but
you know, I should know that given that I live there, but I don't.
That's what I thought it was. So it's like Seattle being, it's like, it's Washington's not that much of a leap. I don't know why he would necessarily move away from his brother, but
I'm sure we'll touch on that in whatever the next game story is.
Yep, sure we will. But and there's another article that said something about how full-on production for Tealu 2 hasn't even begun.
For what?
Last of Us 2.
Did you really just abbreviate it like that?
Yeah, Tealu. But
what the fuck, man?
But yeah, they apparently, you know, aren't in full production yet, which makes sense because if you only have part of the team on it while the other team was still working on The Lost Legacy, which is coming out at the end of the month, it's like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. I mean, you still have people on there, and then they had to get it up and finishing, and then get it to gold, and then once that happened, they'd finally kick over more people, and then you would just work on if you need a day one patch and make sure everything's okay, whatever. But
makes sense. Still unfortunate just because, oh my god, I'm already like, I can't wait for that game to come out.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll turn it around pretty quick. I mean, they're... Well, see, this is a tough one. Because normally they have a two-year turnaround for most of their stuff. They took longer for Uncharted 4, but that's because they lost Amy Hennig, and then things changed. That makes sense why that would take longer. But traditionally, between 1, 2, 3, The Last of Us, they've stuck to a pretty standard schedule. So, but now that they've done this mini game in between, I'm wondering if we're gonna have the same kind of lead time as we will for, like we did for Uncharted 4, where it's like the announcement trailer, and then it took quite a while to actually get there. But yeah, because the announcement trailer for Uncharted was pretty quick. That was at the, wasn't that at the New York launch for PlayStation 4?
Fuck, I can't remember.
Because it was just the map, and it just said Uncharted.
It wasn't much.
Yeah, I think that was during the launch for the PS4 back in New York, I believe, is when they announced it. But it was pretty early on. But, yeah. Because then immediately after that was when the shakeup happened. And then we didn't get a proper trailer until later on. But, man,
either
I was watching...
I'm still excited.
Yeah. I was watching the... Because I was like, oh, if, you know, E3 comes up in 2018 and they show, which they most likely will, a trailer for Last of Us 2. I was wondering, like, okay, well, they've already shown this kind of tone piece, which was old when they did it. So they have that. So now if they show it, it'll have to be the actual game that they show.
They could show another, like, just kind of piece to set the tone more.
They could, but looking at what they did where The Last of Us 1, where they showed the initial trailer, that was kind of the tone piece. It did show the city, but that was basically it. It was just fighting the guy, Ellie goes upstairs, Joel kills the guy, she finds the bullets, the clickers come, they fight him, they run, and then she has the voiceover about, he tells me about how things were, you know, before all this, you know, and running and everything. That's basically, this is our lives now. And then it just goes out to the city in Boston. And then it's done. And then then they did an actual story trailer later on. So I'm wondering if this first tone piece could be considered the first one for the first game. Now they'll do an actual trailer, not like a story trailer, but just like an actual trailer. And I was wondering, like, oh, should I just not watch this? When it comes out eventually. But then I went back and watched the original Last of Us trailer to see how much they showed. And really, it wasn't much. It's a lot of everything in it was all from the early sections, minus one short shot of Joel. But everything was basically before Tess, then after Tess, And then you had some voiceover from Bill, but you didn't actually, you see Bill for a second, so it's like, there wasn't that much. And I'm like, you know what? This trailer really didn't spoil much. The trailer, I remember, initially made me think one thing, because they cut two different scenes together in a way that makes it look like, okay, well, this is, this one thing's going to happen, which doesn't happen at all. They just totally pulled the carpet out from under your feet in that one. But, yeah, so I'm thinking, oh, I could probably watch the next trailer and not get spoiled at all. Because if anything, it'll just be stuff from the beginning. And it won't be like a movie trailer where they do show stuff from the end of the movie, you know, in the trailer. So I think I'll watch it. But we'll see.
Moral of the story, you may or may not watch it. And you're not quite positive, or you are positive. Nobody really knows.
I'll have to go back and rewatch the trailer for, not the initial, not the second trailer for Uncharted, but like, I guess, quote unquote, the story trailer for Uncharted 4, and see how much it shows from the actual game there, because that's a long game, so they could show a lot from anywhere.
I feel like Naughty Dog has always been pretty damn good about avoiding massive spoilers in their games. Right. I feel like it would be pretty safe to watch any trailers they released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel like, yeah, I'll definitely watch it. But yeah.
Let's see. I'm looking at my list of games coming out. Undertale comes out soon as well.
Yeah.
For PS4, that is.
Other than that, I'm trying to look at this subreddit real quick. Oh, Daniel Lich. That was the name of the composer for Dishonored. He passed away. Yeah, other than that, yeah, not much else. I'm sure I'll remember something I wanted to bring up.
Story about your cousin pissing you off.
Yeah, something like that. Nah. Luckily, that hasn't happened at all recently, so that's a good thing. But, yeah. Yeah, oh, here's the article about Last of Us 2, not yet in full press. This is from GameRant.com. Let's see, blah, blah, blah. Naughty Dog has... Okay, I'm trying to see who they're quoting here. Mayor. Who is this? Where's the guy's full name? I'm trying to see Naughty Dog, blah, blah, blah. In an interview with Daily Star, communications director Arne Mayer and Uncharted The Lost Legacy creative director Sean Eskag. Is that a silent Y in there? Eskag?
I have no idea.
It's E-S-C-A-Y-G. So I'm guessing it's Eskag. But anyway, spoke at length about the latest Uncharted's development and what comes next. Part of that discussion broached the topic of what might come after The Last of Us 2 wraps up, at which point Mayer had to step on the brakes and point out that The Last of Us 2 wasn't even at full production. He says, so we can pretty much say the whole studio is focused on The Last of Us Part 2 once this is over. At some point, parts of the team that will try to figure out what's next and how that goes when The Last of Us 2 is in full production. Is full production. The way they worded this is weird. So yeah, he's basically just saying, obviously, not the entire team's on, which makes total sense because they would still be, you know, exactly what I said earlier. So that's who said it there. It wasn't like Neil, but... yeah, let's see here. You know, yeah, blah, blah. A lot of people went from Last of Us straight into Uncharted 4, straight into Lost Legacy, and those guys need a vacation. Because we started really early on The Last of Us Part 2, it'll take a while for people in the studio to figure out what's next. Now, this is just him talking about, you know, what's going to come after. So if you're holding out for Uncharted, you could be waiting some time.
Uncharted?
Yeah, that's how a lot of people...
Man. I've never heard... Like, I get the joke. Since they went from Jack and Daxter to Jack and Daxter Racing, but I've never heard the joke of calling it Uncharted before for a racing game.
A lot of people, yeah, it's been around for a while. I thought it'd be great because, like, oh, the third game's always going to be a racing game, right? Crash Team Racing. But
that would be pretty funny.
Man, a lot of people, I guess before we wrap up, a lot of people have been talking about, you know, with PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds being super popular right now and seeming to climb and not necessarily being a quick fad, like I feel like a lot of things in that genre had been previously. It seems like Battlegrounds is actually doing, it has the right components to it to make it last a long time. with the randomizations and whatnot. So it definitely helps it. Because we'd always talked about, you know, will it still be active when it comes out to consoles and yada yada. But a lot of people wonder, like, when is a AAA studio going to implement something like this into their game as a multiplayer component? And usually people always look towards, like, you know, oh, maybe people think, oh, Activision would probably do it with, like, Call of Duty or something. But Call of Duty's not necessarily known for having large-scale, you know, multiplayer. But someone else had an article, and I forget who it was. It might have been on Push Square. I'm not sure. But they were saying how they think a mode like that should be brought into Last of Us 2. And I thought, you know what? That would be pretty fucking badass. Because the idea of Battlegrounds being you drop in with nothing and you have to scrounge, you have to do the same exact thing in Last of Us multiplayer. You drop in, you have weapons, some ammo, but you have to scrounge for more ammo and components to make healing items, grenades, smoke grenades, you know, all that stuff, shivs, pick up melee weapons. You still have to do that. So the idea that you could drop into a big map and still have to scrounge for that stuff, I feel like that could work really well. Because that's essentially what Last of Us multiplayer is. Granted, it's not a free-for-all, it's a team game.
It thematically fits, like, the scrounging kind of fits, but at the same time, you wouldn't be able to do it with a massive server like PUBG has. Like, you'd have to have PUBG, you know, and those games, a lot of the fun comes from the fact that you have, like, 200 people or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be a bit weird in a game like The Last of Us if there were just, like, a massive amount of people. It'd be kind of cool. It'd be an interesting game mode. I'd probably give it a shot playing once or twice, but I feel like it would have to be a smaller group of people, like capping it at like 16 or so or something like
that. Well, you wouldn't have to be, because it's all about scale. Like, the reason Battlegrounds is 100 people is because the map is so fucking huge. So they want to do it in such a way that there's always a possibility, no matter where you go, that you might run into another player. As the circle shrinks, then it puts you all together. And then it's, whenever I watch one Let's Play channel, and they have like 130-something episodes. And in all their episodes, they never run into more than probably, the most they've ever ran into is, I think, maybe three teams. And that's it. And teams can be a max of four. And that's just because they happened to get funneled, and it was pretty close to the end of the game. So there was about 16 people total in one small area. And that's most. It's never been like, oh, there's 30 people, you know, there's this and that. So I feel like Last of Us 1 was 5-on-5. And, or was it 4-on-4? No.
I thought it was 4-on-4.
Was it 4-on-4?
I haven't played in a while. I need to replay it again, so guess I'll find out soon. But I thought it was 4-on-4.
I think it's 5-on-5.
You played it more than I have. I'll defer to you.
I'm totally... The reason the 4 stripped me up is because when you play one of the game modes where it's... one of the game modes you have to win 4 rounds to be actually complete. So I just had that 4 tick thing in my head, but I think it's, yeah, it may be 4, because Rainbow Six is 5. It might be 4, so it could be 4-on-4. I guess that would make sense. It's probably, I think it's, yeah, 4-on-4, because it was me, Kurt, my cousin, and then we'd always need that one person searching to join our thing. But so it's 8 people on relatively small maps. I mean, some of the maps are pretty big, but. So you figure if they could bump that up to, like you said, maybe 16, do a free-for-all style to where the idea is that the because obviously you're not going to be dropped in, you're not going to have the same lore as Battlegrounds. You're not dropped in, you know, into this place. But if it's just like you randomly drop in and you have to go get these supplies for your, you know, to take back to your group. So it's not factions. It's not going to be Fireflies versus the dudes. I'm totally blanking what they call them. What do they call them in Last of Us? It's like the scavengers, I think is what they call them.
I can't remember.
But so it won't be split teams. It'll just be free-for-all. The idea that you're scrounging for your own stuff to take back to your group. That way it could be free-for-all. Then they do something like that, like maybe 16 people, maybe 20. And then, but I don't know if they should necessarily shrink down the play area. I feel like they could just keep it. Nah, I guess maybe they could, but I don't know how. Oh, maybe they could do it like the spores are coming in. And it's like if you go towards the edge, then you just, you start breathing the spores. And that's the blue lightning from Battlegrounds. So you, if you're in that area, you still lose in health. There, they could do that. Like spores are just coming in.
Clearly you need to tell them that they should go hire you for this.
Nah, but
be like, yo guys, I got a pitch already. We're good to go.
It'd be fun. They would have to do something like where instead of crafting your body armor in Last of Us multiplayer, you could pick it up in that mode. That way they can scatter out, and maybe they scatter out all the guns as well. So you get no guns. That way you start with the melee. You can pick up melee weapons, the shivs, all the stuff. They could totally pull it off, but I mean,
oh yeah, so they could have. You could have to pick up shivs. They could have the guns hidden behind like shiv doors, things like that. There's tons of ways they could implement it.
Oh man, shiv doors in multiplayer. Then you just fucking sit there, wait for someone else to open it, and kill them.
Yeah. Ooh. There's lots of tactics. I know you probably really want this now, don't you?
Oh, I like this now. That's only if they could support that many players. I mean, you'd have to be. Well, I guess they could just scale down the map size, but I'd want it to be more than 8. Because it's free-for-all, I feel like it would go pretty quick. They could also, they could tweak it, do a beta, and see, like, you know, like, because they have time limits on the circles in Battlegrounds, so it's like, oh, let's see, since it's a small map, how quickly do we want the spores to keep spreading inward, you know?
Well, I mean, do you really want it to go that quick, though?
No, you don't want to go super quick, because it's a smaller map, but I imagine with 20 people in a small map, it's probably going to go pretty quick, because it's like in Battlegrounds, typically once you encounter someone, unless they're far away, because it's a huge game, so you can snipe from a distance. You don't do that in Last of Us, really. Sure, there's the rifle, but you're not really like, you're usually pretty close when you get into an engagement in Last of Us multiplayer.
Right.
Like you turn a corner, like, fuck, there's a guy. And then, you know, you're good to go. But, man, now I want this.
You've come up with a game idea. Now you just need to become a game developer and make it. And also somehow acquire the rights to The Last of Us so that you can make it as The Last of Us.
That's right. But yeah. Oh yeah, I think we should wrap up here because I got my appointment soon. But we need a secret word. It was pizza last time. What should it be this time?
Broken.
Broken for the guns.
In honor of or Zaya. Late. Or absent.
Yep. All right, so secret word is broken. All right, there we go. Cool. Well, there are some other things I want to talk about real quick, but because I'm short on time and the late start in the podcast, I can't get into it.
Gotta stop scheduling your haircuts.
Well, like I said, normally I do them at 10, and then that way I do it first thing morning, but this I had to do later. It's like, fuck. I'm like, all right, but...
Whose fault is that? Yours?
I called too late, yeah, when I sealed up. All righty. Well, that wraps up this episode. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Izzy, for joining.
Yep.
And we will see you guys next time.
Later.